Further, we wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from Matthew chapter 5, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin, under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 5, from 1 to 20. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye, when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thus far. We shall now read the form for the administration of baptism, as it can be found on page 126 in the back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we, with our children, are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified. And we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
To his glory and to our comfort and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee, in that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and our seed his covenant. And therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments, and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church, to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help, or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Kasha Halwa? Father and Mother Jos Janssen. Father and Mother Peter Janssen. And Father and Mother Andre Janssen. Dear parents, baptism sets apart. It sets apart from this world, not because that we are any different of ourselves, any better of ourselves than anyone that is in this world. And yet baptism sets apart. It sets apart by the covenant of God. We have heard that. And that covenant we heard in these moments that has two parts, and that has a part from the side of God. That part is a great wonder. And it has a part also on the side of those who are baptized, or in this case, the parents of those who are baptized. And thus, baptism is a very special thing. It is not special because it gives us something special in and of itself, that is the doctrine of Rome. But it is through birth and baptism that our children, they become members of the visible Church of God. And that is a church which is the entrance and a means of entrance into the invisible church of God. And so it is a very special thing for a special people. They are people who have special advantages. Paul says in God's word, "What advantage hath the Jew? And what advantage is there of circumcision?" Or we would say, "What advantage is there of baptism?" Paul says, "Much, much advantage, much every way, chiefly because that unto them are committed the oracles of God." The oracles of God, what are they? The Word of God, that is the mind of God, it is the will of God, and to that people are committed the oracles of God. We read about Ahithophel in God's Word. He was in this world, according to this world, a very wise man. And it is said that to inquire by Ahithophel was as if a man inquired at the oracle of God. What a wisdom is found in the oracles of God, greater than all the wisdom that we can find in this world. And we can find much wisdom also for our life in this world, for the bringing up of our children in this world, which you have just promised. Because many practical things, if we go to Solomon's Proverbs, for example, and how that we are to deal with men in a moral way in this world, but now especially on our journey to eternity, the wisdom that is to be found in those oracles of God, because that is speaking about blood. It is speaking about blood that does not have yet to be shed. There is that blood too. But there is speaking about blood that has been shed already. And now that blood, the sign of which will be sprinkled upon the head of your child. What a wisdom, what an advantage there is for us and our children that we may hear of that blood. Is that not an advantage? Many other children, they do not hear of that blood. But not only an advantage to have those oracles, there is also a great obligation, a special obligation. And we heard that out of that form. What does it say here in that form? It says, a new and holy life. That is the obligation. That is more than the obligation of this world even. Because they, in their ignorance, they do not know. But Paul, he speaks in God's word about those who have known the way and who had no desire to walk in that way. Thus, it is one thing for the world to sin, and it is another thing for us and our children to sin. What kind of an example do we set before the world? Because the Lord said to David, he said that you, one of God's people, one who is in that visible church, you have given cause for my enemies to blaspheme me. Oh, that it may never be said of us and of our children in this world. Special privileges, special obligations, special reward, and special punishments. The reward, special reward. What is that? The Bible speaks about heaven, not just for heaven's sake, but there that that people, that they may dwell with the Lord forever. Special reward. Special punishment. Special punishment. Do you know what is reserved for us and for our children? If we, with the knowledge of the truth, we do not walk in it, the bottom of hell. The bottom of hell. The lowest part, where the stripes are the greatest, for those who knew the way and who did not walk therein. It is a solemn thing. It is a solemn, solemn thing that we and our children are baptized. And we will have to give an answer for that. Oh, may the Lord give that it may be for our eternal welfare and not for our eternal condemnation, that it may be for you parents each and every day your concern, and that you are baptized and that your children are baptized, and that you may go over this world with this upon your heart, and that the Lord may hear you when you cry to him. Congregation, while the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 215, stanzas 4 and 6. A testimony and a law the Lord our God decreed and bade our fathers teach their sons, that they his way might heed. And the last, let children learn God's righteous ways. 4 and 6 of Psalter 215. And after baptism, and we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. Jasper Christian Tangi, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Carter Joshua, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Esther Beverly, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Janessa Lynn, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We will now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing on this service. We hope to remember in prayer Laura Slingerland of our Calgary branch, who was taken to emergency today with an obstructed bowel. Let us try to pray. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee in that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, in which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin the devil and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee. And thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God, O give to us a little sight of him in that great love wherewith that he has loved us, and that even when we were dead in sins and in trespasses, and that he has come to give himself to such a suffering, even to cry out of the missing of his Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, give us to feel each and every day the seriousness of sin, oh, that we may desire to be rid of it, that we may desire to be washed and to be purified a peculiar people unto thee, to serve thee with all our heart, all our might, and all our strength. Oh, that we may be given so to be in help to one another while we are here below, that we may urge one another on to that blessed obedience of thy true church, and that we may be forgiven and washed and cleansed, that we may be given that blessed faith, that we might know it for our own hearts. Lord, we remember also the grandparents, for thou knowest the circumstances in which these parents are living with their children. The parents that are in New Jersey, the parents also that are in Namibia, far away, then they cannot understand or follow along. Also, the father that is in the Netherlands, with his family who is listening even in this hour, when thou dost give it, Lord, remember them, him also in his widowhood, and the widow also that is here among us. Oh, that thou may remember the grandparents, also the grandfather in the Netherlands who is weak. Oh, Lord, the circumstances are all known to thee, and we need all the same thing. And there is so much separation from one another in these days. And yet, if we may receive a visit from thee, then we have everything. Oh, that thou may care for them, that the parents, the grandparents, all together, and may receive a cry for the arising generation, for we live in confusing times, wherein Satan himself goes about as an angel of light, seeking whom that he may devour. Oh, remember us as a congregation. Oh, give thy word to be faithfully brought from this place. Lord, thou knowest all that we stand in need of. Oh, we are not sufficient, Lord, for these things. We ask of thee for wisdom. Oh, we ask of thee strength and the ability to lead this our own flock as a true shepherd his sheep, and that thou mayst keep us together as a flock round about thy truth and round about thy holy word. Oh, that we may be teachable people, and that we may receive thy truth in our very hearts. Lord, look upon us in thy mercy. We are of yesterday, and we know nothing. Oh, grant us altogether true conversion, a true bowing at thy footstool, and a true need for this blood that is upon the forehead of each and every one of us, that we may be washed, forgiven, and cleansed from all the filthiness, all the corruption, all the ignorance, all the guilt that is living within us. Oh, wash us, Lord, make us clean, and renew us in a new life to be a peculiar people unto thyself. Remember us also as nations. Oh, look thou upon the United States of America, when a new president has been given his place in this past week and has begun to govern that great country. Oh, Lord, could it please thee to bring him to his knees, to bow before thee, that his language might be, O Lord, I am so ignorant, and that he might be even in his old age as Solomon was in his youth, who did say, I do not know how to go out and how to come in or to lead this people. Lord, remember in thy mercy also the government of this land, in all the needs and the cares of the time in which we are living. Look upon us together in this hour. Help us, Lord, to speak a few fitting words. May it be with a blessing, a little blessing in this afternoon from on high. Oh, could it be that thy spirit may come, and that it may come over all that transpires here below, to take away all that is in the way. Oh, Lord, do it for thy name's sake. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 141, the third stanza. Not the formal sacrifice hath acceptance in thy eyes. Broken hearts are in thy sight more than sacrificial rite. Contrite spirit, pleading cries, thou, O God, wilt not despise. Stanza 3 of Psalter 141. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Matthew 5, and thereof in the 8th verse. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So far, the words of our text. The pure in heart. First, their character. Second, their blessedness. The pure in heart. First, their character. And second, their blessedness. Purity. What is purity? That means to be unmixed, to be just a simple substance, to be just one single thing. That is, that thing is completely free from all contamination. So pure gold. What is that, children? We read that many times in the Word of God, that something was made out of pure gold. That was in the temple. That was even in the tabernacle. Then that gold was not mixed with other things. Then it had to be very, very pure, because that had a certain symbolism that was being used in the holy things of God. And now, what does our text speak about? It doesn't speak about pure gold. It speaks about a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Thus, what is that? That is a heart also that is unmixed. That is a heart that is singular. That is a heart that is free from all immorality. That is a heart that is true. That is a heart that is not mixed with dishonesty or deceit or ulterior motives. The pure in heart. The Lord Jesus, he said to Judas, "Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" There was no purity in his heart. He gave the Lord Jesus a kiss. His words were fair, "Hail, Master." But there were seven abominations in his heart. Elisha, he said to Gehazi, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi? Thy servant went nowhither." But his words were not pure. His heart that was not pure. No, there was covetousness mixed in his heart. The lie that was in his heart. Deceit that was in his heart. For 9 months, we read about David. And he lived with a heart in which there was a mixture. Or there was a certain hypocrisy with which he lived for 9 months. He lived a lie, was different within and without. That was a very difficult time for David. That is a difficult time for any one young people. Not only young people, no, old people too. Everyone, that is a difficult time when we live a hypocritical life. David, he said that his bones, they waxed old through their roaring all the day long while he kept silence, while this mixture that prevailed. And now the Lord Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." John Calvin, he writes that purity of heart is the mother of all virtues, all goodness. He says there is no goodness that is so good as when the heart may be pure. And yet, he says, there is hardly one person in 100 that does not put craftiness in the place of this purity. And that is true. Purity of heart, that is a very rare thing. It is not, saith the buyer, Solomon says. But when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. Where can you find purity of heart in this world? Or more, where can we find purity of heart within ourselves? Where can we find this freedom from immorality in our heart? Where can we find truth in our heart? Pure thoughts, pure motives, pure aspirations, pure desires, according to holiness, according to all the commandments and the will of God. It is very evident that this impurity of heart, that is a family disease, congregation. What is a family disease, children? Sometimes a disease runs in a family. We say it is genetic. Then it is passed on from father or mother to their children, everyone. They have that same disease. And when we look at the pervasion of this disease, is heart impurity. We see the pervasion of this throughout the entire human race. Then we must say that this is indeed a family disease. It is a disease that is inherited by us. Who is not affected by this disease? Even from the most wise and the most godly Solomon, who is sitting on his throne. And then you can see times in his life, and that this impurity that is mixed in with their godliness, then even to the greatest and most vile criminal that is sitting in the dungeon, then this disease of that heart impurity that is living, it is burning, it is festering in the heart of all mankind. Where does it come from? What did Satan say? Satan says, thou shalt not surely die. No, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You shall say what is good, what is evil, and you will not have to listen unto God. And his speech that was full of deceit. It was full of lies. That was its very purpose, to deceive. And that remains so. That remains so with every suggestion, because he is coming with those suggestions that are also coming half out of the Word of God. And that as an angel of light, the Word of God says, and that he is deceiving mankind with this impurity of heart. And now, where do we find purity? Where do we find purity of heart in mankind after the fall? There is not the least spark of it in man. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, we read in God's word, that is only evil continually. Build that, he said, how can man be clean that is born of a woman? That is true. How can he says. No, he cannot be. Why not? Because he is born of a woman. Because he is conceived and he is born in sin. and therefore such a man, he cannot be clean. No, Isaiah says we are all as an unclean thing. He says even our righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags. Thus he says that our most holy duties, the duties that we do upon our knees, the duties that we do in the house of the Lord, even these, they are filled with iniquity because of that heart. Oh, that wretched, wretched deceit of the heart of man. Blessed are the pure in heart. Is that not a wonder that such a thing is written in the Word of God? Who says that thing? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. God, blessed are the pure in heart. Is that not a wonder that there even could be such a thing among men? After that deep fall of man, what do you think of that? Do you ever desire to be pure in heart? You know, we read of Job. Of Job that we read he was a perfect and an upright man. One that feared God and eschewed evil. Do you know who said that of Job? The Lord did. What do you think of that, young people? Did you ever read that, what the Lord says of Job? With a holy jealousy in your heart? Did you ever bow your knees? And did you ever say, Lord, oh Lord, could I be made like that man? Could I live like that man? Could I be before thee like that man, a perfect and an upright man that feared God? Oh Lord, could I be like Zacharias and Elizabeth? What does the Bible say of them? That they were righteous, righteous before God. That they were walking in all the commandments of the Lord, blameless. Or were you ever jealous of those two people? That you say, oh, could I also be so in my life, in my heart, before the Lord? What do we read about Enoch? We read that man walked with God. Is that not a wonder that a person born of a woman could walk with God, walk in uprightness, walk in purity of heart before the Lord in the midst of this wicked world and with such a wicked heart within his bosom? Blessed, blessed are the pure in heart. Where does that come from? Was Enoch? Was Job? Was Zacharias? Was Elizabeth? Were they not also sons and daughters of Adam? Were they not also conceived and born in sin? They were. And yet, the Bible speaks of them as being pure in heart. So how is that possible? Where does that come from? Well, it cannot come from them. It cannot come from man. You say that has to have a different origin. That has to be from God himself. Why? Because iniquity, an iniquitous heart, an impure heart, that cannot make itself pure. Or if there is a stagnant pond, full of all kinds of filth and disease, then it is not of itself able to make a change in itself. Did you ever feel that? Did you ever feel that impurity of heart? Did you ever attempt to make that heart clean? That is what the Apostle Paul did. Oh, he mourned. He mourned over the impurity of his heart. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Because the good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do." He says, "There is a law that is within me, that when I would do good, then evil that is present with me." Oh, then he experienced, then he felt something of that impurity and everything that he has tried to do in his life. And the Apostle Paul, what kind of a man was the Apostle Paul? Oh, he was a man who was a Pharisee. He was a man who had a conscience, young people. That man could speak after the Lord converted him about his conscience even in former years. In the days that he was a Pharisee, then he has lived a strict man. He has lived in every way according to his conscience, according to the law of God. Do we do that too? Because David, we sing that sometimes, he says, "Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago, and we will be made to possess the iniquities of our youth. If it is not in this life, then it is going to be in a life that is to come." No, Paul, he could not purify his own heart. That was his experience. And yet, what do we read? What does the Apostle Paul say? He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." What did he thank the Lord for, children? Do you know what he thanked the Lord for? He thanked the Lord for a pure heart. You say, what? How can that be? The Apostle Paul, did he have a pure heart then? Or did he not have a pure heart? That is a mystery. That is difficult for you to understand, isn't it? Blessed are the pure in heart. Oh, in what is the heart of that people pure? In what is the heart of that people simple, singular? Do you know what Paul says? "The good that I would. The good that I would." And that his heart was simple. In that his heart there was no mixture. "The good that I would." That was in him a pure desire. A desire of that new man. Where did that come from? It came from above. That is a desire that the Lord put in the heart of the Apostle Paul. In that new birth, "the good that I would." Did the Lord ever put that in your heart? Did the Lord ever give to you a new birth, a new heart, children? Because if the Lord gives you a new heart, then in your heart is going to come what was in the heart of God's people. We can read that in the Word of God. And then, boys and girls, what did David say? He said, "I will behave myself in a perfect way." That means that he would behave himself in a way that was according to that law of God. David, he says, "When I walk in my house, where no one else can see me but God, when I walk within my house, then I will walk in my house with a perfect heart." Oh, the good that I would. David knew that too. David and that Apostle Paul, They are affected by the same God. They are affected by that same Spirit. It is that same life. It is that same desire. It is that same pure aspiration that is planted in their heart. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. The good that I would. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. The good that I would. Was it then accomplished? Was that then accomplished by the Apostle Paul? Was it then accomplished by David? Paul says, no, it is not accomplished. He says, I do not. The good that I would, I do not, he says. Do you say that too? Do you glory in that? Do you say to other people, I do this, I do that, and it is sinful, and it is wrong, and you say, I do it anyway? David did not glory in it. The Apostle Paul did not glory in it. No, he mourned it. He mourned that there was another law that was in his members, that was warring against the law of his mind, that the Lord had put in his mind, that the Lord had given to him in a pure way. And yet, oh, even though he could not do it, yet there was that pure desire, and he grieved at his own failings. He grieved at his own backslidings. That is the distinction between the elect and the reprobate. What is the distinction? A good people, a bad people? What is the distinction? That people, they are the ones who obey. These are the people, they are the ones that disobey. That is not the distinction. Because Paul, he says, I do not. Where is now the distinction? It is in the purity of the heart. It is in the purity of that desire. Oh, did the Lord ever put that desire in your heart? Where is that distinction? It is in the mourning. It is in the tears that are flowing out of the heart. Because I cannot, because I will not obey, because I fall again and again, because my heart that is corrupt, because I have an evil disposition within. That is something that is not lying in the reprobate. Does it lie in us? Does it lie in us? Because we have, the Bible says, to examine our own heart before the Lord, not before other men, before the Lord this day. Does that now lie in our heart? That desire for that purity of life, the desire for the purity within our heart, that we may be singular, that we may be simple, that it may be unmixed with all immorality. The Lord Jesus says, this people are blessed. Blessed, he says, are the pure in heart. Maybe you say they don't seem to be so blessed to me because they have a desire that they can never reach. They have a goal that they can never obtain. That is not true. That is not true. They do receive it. They only do not receive it in the same way as they thought. But they receive it in a different way. They receive it in a much more blessed way. It is a mysterious way. That is what we want to consider in our second thought. What is now their blessedness? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See God. Children, can you see God? If you ask your mother and your father, they will say to you, no, children, we cannot see God. Because God is a spirit. The Lord Jesus is a man. But the Lord Jesus, in his human nature, he is in heaven. We cannot see him. And God is a spirit. And so he also cannot be seen. So how is that then, that the Lord Jesus, he says, they shall see God. Well, the Lord Jesus, he speaks in a metaphor. The Lord Jesus speaks in a symbolic way. What does that mean? To see God. That is to have blessed soul views of God. Or that is to be able to see God, to apprehend him in his attributes, to apprehend him in his perfections. That our soul may see something of his beauty. That our soul may apprehend his works. That it may have a view of his glory. Or what is then more blessed in all this world than to see God. Because that is the reason that we were created. There was a seeing of God. When our first parents, they were in paradise, then they also saw God. There they communed with him. There they enjoyed his presence. There they enjoyed something of his favor. Thus, that was the end of the creation. The Lord, he has created man so high that he could commune with him. And when he fell away, what was the end of the redemption? What is the purpose of the redemption? Is that not to see God? Is that not the great blessedness and the great mystery of the electing love of God, the decree of God that he would create, that man would fall, that he would send his son, and that he would bring his creature, he would bring his elect into that close and blessed union, even to be a spouse, even to be a bride unto himself. They shall see God. What is then more blessed in this whole world? What are we to seek more in this whole world than this blessing? That we may see him. That is the highest good. That is the reason that God's children, they desire that they may be delivered from the greatest evil. What is that greatest evil? Sin. Do you desire to be delivered from the greatest evil? And why? What does the Lord say in his word? Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. What is holiness? That is departure from sin. Without that departure, then no man shall see the Lord. But you say, how is now that possible? Because Paul could not cleanse himself. David could not cleanse himself. Or they were stricken with that family disease, even from their first parents, Adam and Eve. Then how is it possible that such a man in the flesh, that sin is remaining, that such a man may see God? That is a good question. Ask the people. They would like to know that too. They say, how is it possible that such a person that I am, that such a person who is wretched, such a person who has an evil heart, a person who is impure in his motives, in his thoughts, how can such a person see God? Oh, the Lord, he cannot look on impurity. And an impure heart also cannot look upon God. Because God, our God, we read, he is a consuming fire. And yet the Lord Jesus, he says here of this people, Christ himself, he says, they shall see God, not in his anger, not in his wrath, but they shall see him in his goodness. They shall see him in his grace. Oh, there are people also among us who know what that is. In all their impurity, and in all the impossibility, and in all the discouragement, all they know what it is for a moment to look and to see God. All they know what that is for a moment, for their eye to have a view, a blessed view of the grace of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, and that light, when the light of the Spirit that has shone on that word in all of their wretchedness, oh, then they know what it is for a moment. For that faith to be led into the blessed mysteries of free and sovereign grace. Oh, then they have looked for a moment upon the Son. Oh, then they have looked for a moment, parents. They have looked upon that blood for just a moment. And then they have seen God. They have seen him in his graciousness. They have seen him in his mercy. They have seen him in his love. They have seen him in his compassion. Oh, they have seen. They have looked upon God. John, he says, we saw him. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, he says, full of grace and truth. He could describe it. He could describe what he saw when he saw God. He says, when I saw it, it was full of grace and it was full of truth. Can you describe it, people of the Lord, when you may see him? By an eye of faith for one moment. Is it true what the apostle says there? Full of grace and truth. Those who have seen God, then they will say that is true. And what happened then in that moment? When that people, they have seen him. What happened to all their impurities? What happened to all their sins? Oh, for just a moment, when they have seen him, then it all disappeared. For just a moment, when they have seen him, it was all gone. Oh, then they could not see it. Do you know the Bible that speaks about the robe? The robe that was placed on that prodigal son. You know the robe of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes God's servants, they speak about the covering righteousness. What is that, young people? It's an expression. The covering righteousness. Do you know what that is? That is taking place in that blessed moment when the Lord, He is shining by His Spirit for that people upon that word, and when they may see God for just a moment in His only begotten Son, and then that righteousness of Christ, the blessed and perfect obedience, the passive, the active, everything, all that is like a robe that is placed on that people. And that robe that is covering everything. You know, they cannot see it anymore. They cannot see it when they see that blood, and when their heart may enter for just a moment into the blessed mysteries of the Son of God, the sending of the Father, of that Son into the world, the payment of that surety. Oh, then for that moment, then David, he said, my sin is covered. Oh, congregation, is that not a wonder? That is such a wonder, because when we have to appear soon at that judgment seat, do you know what is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen when we are standing before our judge? Well, I ask you this. If we are called to the judge here on earth, what is the first thing that happens in your mind? Children, young people? When you get a summons to the court, what is the first thing that happens in your mind? Then your guilt is coming into the foreground, is it not? Right away, the court, the judge, and then you say, what have I done? What have I done? And when we have to stand before that court, then into the foreground is going to come every one of our transgressions. When we see God, when we have not one answer to 1,000 questions, guilty, guilty, guilty. And now, what does it say here? It said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What is that? What is that? To see God, to appear before our judge, and to have not one sin come in the foreground. What will that be for that people? Oh, what a difference that there is going to be on that great day of days. No, not because this people was so obedient and that people was so disobedient. No, we are all cut from the same cloth. But the Lord Jesus, He says, blessed are the pure in heart. And there is just moments in the life of that people, when the Lord is coming over for a moment, that they may have insight, a blessed spiritual insight into this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Oh, they may taste, they may see, they may experience something of that blessedness, when they may see the Son, then for a moment they see the Father. If you will ask them, those who are not strangers of what it means to for one moment see the Son, they will say, yes, but I did not see the Father. wait a moment. Wait a moment. That is what the disciples also said to the Lord Jesus. Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. What did the Lord Jesus say to them? He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Oh, how is it? Those who are not complete strangers of what that means, to see the Son. Oh, what have you seen? Then for a moment, was it not that it was all wiped away? Or was it then for a moment that a person, he could come into that judgment? Then you have seen the Father. Oh, because the Father is the judge. The Father is your creator. The Father is whom you cannot appear before. But now in that moment, you have seen him. In that moment, then your eye has beheld that he was satisfied and that there was nothing standing in between. Oh, then everything that is not all fleshed out in one moment for the life, in the life of that people, no. And yet everything is contained in that sight of the Lord. Oh, then they see the Father. They see something of his love. In the sending forth of his Son, blessed views that a man may have of God in this world. Maybe you take your children to the mountains and then you marvel. You say, what a sight. Let me take a picture that we do not lose it. What a beautiful animal. What a wonderful creation. When you may see the creation, oh congregation, if you may for one moment have a sight of redemption, the redemption of Christ for a man who was born in that family of Adam with that impure heart. Oh, then what a person sees in that moment you cannot take a picture of. That is what God's servants, they stand and they try to stammer a few words. What that is, they try to draw a picture for you, to draw your heart, that you may also desire to have the smallest such view. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And there is so much more coming for that people. Why? Because Paul, he says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. Oh, then there is coming a time that desire of God's children, that they may be pure in heart. As the Apostle Paul said, oh, that desire, that flesh would be done away, that is coming. That is coming for God's children. The Lord is going to purify them. And when he lays them in the earth at the end of this short journey, then after a little rest, then he is going to raise them up again. And then all the flesh that is going to remain behind, and that pure desire that was planted in the heart, which was fighting in the heart of that militant church here below, oh, then all that fighting will be done, because that flesh that will be left behind, and it will be nothing but purity, and then they will receive the desire of their heart forever and forever. and so do tears. They are going to be wiped away from the eyes of that people. What will then be the view? What will then be the view of that people? What are they going to see when they see God? When it will be no more through a glass darkly, but when it will be face to face. We do not know what that will be. We cannot explain it. It will have to be experienced. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give to us a sight of our own impurity, of our own sin, then it was set before us in this afternoon in a visible way in thy sacrament. These children, they are born in that same family as every one of us. All they did receive that sign, that blessed sign of washing, of regeneration, of justification, of sanctification, of reconciliation. Oh, give together with these parents to each and every one of us, and that we may seek in our life to receive the greatest blessings and not those that are passing away here below. Dismiss us with a little blessing from above, something that may remain in our heart with a desire to be washed and to be cleansed and to be made into a new man. Do forgive and take away all of our many, many sins. Help us in this week with the labors of our hands. Be with the children at school. Watch over and protect also from disease, from accident, from danger, from a sudden and an unprepared death. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 241, stanzas 4 and 5. The heavens shall join in glad accord to praise thy wondrous works, O Lord. Thy faithfulness shall praise command where holy ones assembled stand. 4 and 5 of Psalter 241. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.